This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Bridegroom Productions proudly presents the world premiere of Speeding Motorcycle, a rock opera by legendary Texas singer-songwriter Daniel Johnston. Popular artists including Tom Waits, Beck, Sonic Youth, and the Flaming Lips have recorded Johnston's widely emotional pop songs. Speeding Motorcycle opens Thursday, May 25th and runs Fridays and Saturdays through June 24th at the Axiom, 2524 McKinney. For reservations, call 713-522-8443. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT has just completed the Spring 2006 membership drive.
If you are one of the many listeners who joined this drive, thank you very much. You've made a contribution to your community that is appreciated.
It will go a long way to bringing you the great radio you've come to enjoy.
Before you know it, your membership envelope will arrive in the mail. Don't forget to pay your pledge.
The great feeling you get when you support KPFT feels even better once you drop that check in the mail.
And if you've missed your chance to join and support the news, music, or other great programming you hear each day, there's still time.
Join online at www.kpft.org and do your part.
Your pledge is tax deductible, and if your employer has a matching gifts program, your pledge could be doubled.
Again, that's www.kpft.org to pledge now.
Thanks again for your support. You make a difference for Houston.
This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Yeah. jack me off.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT, you know where we are. You know where you're at. If you're sitting in front of a radio, it's 90.1. If you can smell the salt air, it's 89.5. And if you smell something else, it may be kpft.org. Thanks for clicking over from that other website. We started off with some interesting music. Kind of an appropriate thing when talking about computers and stuff. We started off with Candy Cane and the Masturbation Blues, followed up with Pansy Division of Jack You Off. Because, unfortunately, I didn't realize it ahead of time, May is National Masturbation Month. So,
in the keystrokes.
Yeah, huh?
Brings a whole new meaning to the word key strokes.
Yes. So this is, National Masturbation Month, and so we had to start off with that. And if I can get this other thing to come up.
Good luck.
I hope it'll come up here. We'll play this other little warning for everybody with this sort of topic. So I've left a nice highlighter pen, and I'm going to be playing with it all night, so you're going to hear this clicking sound all night long.
Uh-huh.
I can't help it. I just got to grab hold of something and flick it.
Ah! For shame.
For shame, yes.
I forget, you have none.
Me?
Yeah, moi.
Ain't no shame in my game.
I'll
put that over here. Some good news on the Jimmy front. He is out of the hospital.
Thank God for small favors.
Well, apparently what happened is, he kept requesting the orderly use a smaller and smaller sponge when giving him that sponge bath, and they finally had enough of it.
Last I heard, it was down to a toothbrush.
Well, supposedly he was hit on by one of the orderlies, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, but the funny thing is, supposedly Jimmy was not in the mood to agree to that. It's like, my God.
This isn't like Jimmy at all.
Yeah.
No.
Talk about heavy sedation.
Yeah.
See if this website's going to come up quickly. Well,
it's not. It is.
I forgot to get it started up here before the...
Okay, you're getting something because I can see the reflection in your glasses.
yeah, you'll see. No, not that one. So we'll play this little clip here to get you ready for the end of National Masturbation Month. Oh, turn the wheel, turn the wheel. There it is. There she is. So
all you had to do was press the little page down button.
Well, it's like halfway down the page. So let's see if it's going to launch here. The video's cute, but it works without the language. So in honor of National Masturbation Month.
What's the website?
Opens with the scene of a teenager in bed.
Appropriately gendered, of course.
And the doorknob turns.
Aha.
Oh, excuse me, Ricky. Ricky, I did see what you were doing. It felt good, didn't it? It's all right. We all have feelings like this sometimes. I'm just glad you're doing this in the privacy of your own room. When you're a little bit older, we'll have to talk more about these feelings and what causes them and how we can control these feelings. I'm sorry I intruded on your privacy. I'll be sure to knock now, okay?
Ah, yes, if it only happened that way. One of the comments that somebody put on there said, you know, it was similar to how it was when my experience when I got caught, except Mother was screaming a lot more than she was.
Stop that or you're going to go blind.
This, you know, especially with the way they're dressed and all this, it's very Stepford Wives.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see the video that goes along with it, and it's clean, if you are over the age of 18, I'm going to preface by saying that, go to queerclick.com. If you are under the age of 18, go to yourtube.com and locate it there.
How nice that it's in two places at the same time.
Well, Queer Click stole it from YourTube. Okay, disappear off the screen.
I mean, that looked like it was straight out of 1969.
Yeah, it was very, you know, the kid's freckle face, you know, Dutch boy haircut. You know, he was wearing pajamas with a collar that, you know, could be used as a hang glider.
Oh,
okay. What
it's
happened?
Only because his ears were covered by his hair.
Yeah. So that was just a cool key thing. It is National Masturbation Month. Good Vibrations out in San Francisco has declared it this month. So in the last couple days of it, reach out and touch someone.
And if you can't reach out and touch someone, touch yourself.
Yeah. Remember, I mean, take your best friend to dinner.
Uh-huh. Yourself.
Oh.
Remember, the bathroom is used for other purposes other than taking a dump.
Oh. You're the one who went there, not me.
Oh.
All right, I got to log back in.
Like you've never dumped a load. Been in the shower.
Well, you know, kind of like how, you know, when you go move to a new house, you're supposed to, you go through and you christen the different rooms.
You initiate it, yes.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot more on there. no, on this other, I went to this other website. I was looking at the gay news. Pull up here the stories we need you to know. Hopefully, Mistress Max will be in. Hopefully.
If
not, I'll play a bunch of music. We'll figure something out.
Maybe she thinks that she's not supposed to be here till 2 o'clock.
No, 1:30. Well, I mean, I guess it's a little early.
1:30, yeah. I mean, we're still, what, 15, 16 minutes away from that? So.
Breakfast at Mary's.
As opposed to Tiffany's.
I know, that's one thing. If someone can rewrite the words to that. I said, what about breakfast at Mary's?
Yes, Mary. And you said, what about it?
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I think I remember the film. I don't think that will work there. This week...
I think I remember the video.
Video, film, book. We'll go back in a...
DVD?
Music video? What's that? Something on MTV?
Yes.
I like the one thing where we were talking about the new music service that they're providing, you know, kind of like iTunes. And was it Stephen Colbert who said, yes, on the MTV thing, it's called, I forget what they called their thing, but they said, yeah, you can only download music 30 minutes a day, and the rest of the time will be crappy shows. I remember when MTV played music videos that wasn't Nick Lachey.
Uh-huh. Well, since he left Charmed, you know.
Since he left Jessica. You know, beat that dead horse. On Sunday, May 28th, from 10 a.m. till noon, Breakfast at Mary's, hosted by the ICOH Space City Empire, and Gerald McNeil and Jeff Wallace. Proceeds benefit the Lazarus House through Enthronement 5. 15% proceeds are going to the Lexi Bowen Community Fund. Mary's, naturally, you know where that's at. And from 10 to noon, that's so the TABC is happy.
Corner Juan. What's it?
Juan Westheimer?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, if you don't know where Mary's is, you're not going to be up at that time. Let's see.
No.
The Imperial Prince and Princess Extravaganza weekend. First 2 days are taken care of. So on Sunday, May 28th at EJ's at 2517 Ralph. From 2 to 5 on the castle patio, welcome back the Majesties. And the money raised on this weekend is benefiting Legacy Community Health Services, Body Positive, AIDS Foundation Houston, Camp Hope, all that through is a rhesus, the Empire of the World Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Coronation 23. Now, one thing about this little fun drive is there is a challenge.
And that challenge is?
Well, if they raise $500, Emperor Ronnie Siebert gets his head shaved to a number one guard on the razor.
Okay.
If they raise $1,000, Emperor Ronnie Siebert will get shaved bald.
Okay.
If they raise $2,000, Emperor Ronnie and Empress Dee Dee will get shaved bald. If they raise $2,500, both will get shaved bald, and Emperor Ronnie will get his backside shaved.
In public?
I'm assuming. The last I heard, Emperor Ronnie is bald.
He's already bald.
Is going to be bald.
Okay.
They're working on getting Empress Dee Dee bald. So, EJ's from 2 to 5 on the castle patio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I use those terms loosely, bring your checkbox.
Book.
Yes, that too. I'm looking for more than one check from each person, so bring the whole box.
Imperial Prince 22, Mr. Gay Pride, Houston 2005. Christopher Sparkles Boy Prada presents the beginning of the end, time to pass the torch on Friday, June 2nd at EJ's. Showtime is 8 p.m. It's open to all performers with a 50-50 raffle, and it'll be benefiting Legacy Community Health Services, Body Positive, and AIDS Foundation Houston Camp Hope.
No rap music, please.
Also, don't forget the 12th annual Mr., Miss, and Ms. Gay Pride Contest 2006 on June 4th at Keys West, 7 p.m. at 817 West Dallas. 6 p.m. registration. There's an application fee of $50. Their contestants will be talent, formal presentation in your choice of pride colors, a talent segment, 5 minutes max. Formal evening wear and on-stage question and answer. All of those events, again, are benefiting through the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Stars, Coronation 23, the Legacy Community Health Services Body Positive Program, and AIDS Foundation Houston Camp Hope.
Hot dog. Just what everybody's looking for out there.
All in the Family, an evening of community, presented by their most Imperial Majesties Apollo Emperor Mark Cohen and Gemini Empress Chanel Cartier, along with their Serene Highnesses, Crown Prince Royal, Jeff Wallace, and Crown Princess Royale Rose Smith. On Saturday, June 3rd at EJ's, this is the for the Imperial Court of Houston Space City Empire, Saturday, June 3rd, EJ's at 8:30, and it's an event hosted by the First Family of ICOH. Next. Thank you.
Don't you just hate it when you got to wait for those electrons to catch up to you?
Yeah, I'm trying to... let's see. The Montrose Counseling Center is announcing the world premiere of Stuart Zuckerberg's hilarious new comedy, Loosely Lysistrata. The show is based loosely, of course, on Astrophane's Greek comedy, Lysistrata, but with a gay twist. Lysistrata, as in the original, devises a plan to stop the fighting between Sparta and Athens in ancient Greece. She's able to convince the women of Greece to withhold sex from their husbands until they stop fighting.
Ooh, that would be a short fight.
Yeah. In this play, Lysistrata, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. If not, I don't care.
I think you're pretty close.
Sally didn't give a pronunciation guide.
Unfortunately.
Well, in this version, Lysistrata is a lesbian activist. And while the women do barricade themselves in the Acropolis...
The Acropolis.
The anti-war plan is failing. That is, until the gay men of Greece come up with their own scheme to relieve the suffering soldiers.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, now it got interesting.
Isn't that special?
Join them on Wednesday, June 14th at 7:30 for the performance at the Stages Repertory Theater, 3201 Allen Parkway. Proceeds from that evening will benefit the Montrose Counseling Center. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. You can get your tickets at the Montrose Counseling Center, 701 Richmond. Loosely Lysistrata is based on the graphic novel, comic book, by well-known gay German comic writer Ralph Cohen, adapted by Stuart Zuckerberg. And it's produced by Unhinged Productions.
Try saying that 5 times fast.
I had a hard enough time saying it 1 time fast.
Hard enough?
Mm-hmm. The Imperial Court of Houston and the Misfits are asking, need a great hand job?
Yes.
The ICOH female line, along with a sexy man of the Misfits, Her Majesty's Imperial Honor Guard, are having a car wash on Saturday, June 3rd at Mary's, naturally, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pre-sale tickets are available from any member of the female line. They will honor any of the pre-sale tickets from a previous event which did not happen. The washes are $5, and it benefits ICOH Reign 4. Net proceeds benefiting Lazarus House, with 15% of the proceeds going to the Lexi Bowen Community Fund.
Here we go again. 15%. 15%. Is that anything like 15 minutes of fame?
No, it's shortened. The 14th annual Hatch Alternative Prom, with the theme Moulin Rouge. Back to the last millennium. Will be held on Friday, June 9th, at the historic Magnolia Ballroom, 715 Franklin Street, at Milam, from 7 p.m. to midnight.
Bedroom.
The prom is free for youth ages 13 to 20. However, we do encourage adults to attend, especially because not all GLBT adults were able to attend their own proms, or dress as they wished, or take the date they wanted to take. The adults attending the prom become role models for the youth as well. The prom is $25 for anyone 21 and up.
Oh, God, we have to pull out the formals for this?
Uh-huh. Tickets are available. Yeah, shave your back too, honey, if you're going to go backless. Tickets available are at the door only. It's one of the ways they raise funds for the Hatch program. If you'd like to make a donation to the prom in cash or in kind, contact Bill Alexander, Hatch Youth Services Assistant, at 713-529-3590, or you get more information at hatchyouth.org. Click next. And hopefully we will have Hatch here next week, and they can talk more about it.
Yes, please.
An art affair. Center hosts an art auction benefit on June 3rd. A host of local artists, including Richard Fleur, David Lewis, John Palmer, will contribute work for an art affair, the Houston GLBT Community Center auction fundraiser on Saturday, June 3rd from 7 to 10 p.m. The evening event, which is open to the public, will feature silent and live auctions of art. Proceeds of the benefit held at Winter Street Studios, 2101 Winter Street, will support operations and programming at the Community Center, home base for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people and allies in the metropolitan area and southeast Texas.
By God, Texas.
Art Affair will also feature music provided by Rick Ramirez, Play Mobile DJ Service, as well as food and refreshments from community restaurants and caterers. It's a long night already. Invitation only. VIP reception for the Art Affair donors and friends will be held on June 1st. This will be the 10th anniversary of the establishment of the Community Center, which is currently located at 3400 Montrose Boulevard, Suite 207, right smack between the Disco Kroger and the Chinese Consulate.
Oops.
A big 10-story building with the flashing lights.
Yeah, the one that's got Scott Gertner's Sky Bar in it.
For more information, you can check out the website, HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org.
You leave my organ alone.
How many more do I got? Summer surprises. Crown Prince Royale, Jeff Wallace. See, unfortunately, I can't group all of the courts together.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy prints them out. I believe in saving the trees. No, it's just I can't afford a printer. So I'm going through the emails doing it. So, you know, I'm not putting all the court stuff together. Crown Prince Royale Jeff Wallace and Crown Princess Royale Rose Smith proudly present Summer Surprises, an evening of fun, music, fun, and mystery on Friday, June 9th at 8 p.m. over at EJ's. And since that is...
There's that bar again.
Yeah, that's ICOH, so that's EJ's, and you know who that's going to.
15%.
Yes. Thomas Street Clinic, Harris County Hospital District, has organized an HIV, AIDS, and mental health workshop on June 9th. Workshop parking and lunch are free, but seating is limited. One of the workshop speakers will be Bob Hergenroder from the Montrose Counseling Center. If you want to find out whatever alphabet soup he has after his name, call him. He's going to be speaking about HIV, AIDS, mental health, and substance abuse, an integrated approach. For more information, contact Thomas Street Clinic at 713-873-4157 or 713-873-4026. June 9th, so click next, not delete.
Depends on one's point of view.
Okay, did I just do a thing called the surprise
No.
Okay, well, the surprise show, Shameless, the first Baron of ICOH and current daddy of Montrose, is hosting an event on Saturday, June 10th at Mary's, naturally, starting at 9 p.m. It's a direct benefit for the Colt 45s through ICOH. If you have an announcement or secret that will surprise everyone, be sure to shock us all by revealing it that night.
Colt 45 is a great organization.
You can find them at colt45s.org. And I did that one already because it's on another list. Click. And I finally get to hit delete. That's it in the news and upcoming events.
And, of course, if you missed any of these announcements, you can go to our archived website and...
And download it.
Download it.
Yeah.
Listen to it at your leisure.
Yeah, one of these days I get back to doing the online playlist, but since no one's checking it out...
Why bother?
No, right now I'm just a little... Things have been a little crazy the past couple of weeks, so...
Yeah, so I understand.
Oh.
Trying to keep everything straight, as it were.
Ew.
Ew. Why would anybody want to do that?
All right, let's see. I gotta play this one CD. I had a request.
You're crooked. And what was the request?
I gotta play this one song. I'll play the other song next week.
Okay. So who's the artist?
I don't know.
No, don't lie to me.
Catty B.
Yeah. Catty B what?
That's her name. Catty B, period.
Just B.
Yeah, yeah.
So I B, you I'm B, we play B.
Play the song. Yeah, it was originally by...
RB?
Gosh, I don't even remember who was the original artist of this song way back in the 80s.
Well, given the median age of our listenership, you and I are probably the only ones that would recognize the original artist.
Of course. Thanks for reminding me of the age. So, by request...
You're still younger than I am.
That's no real small comfort.
Oh, well.
All right, you know who it's for. So, here it is. Let's hear it for the boy, and then let's get some music. We'll figure out what we're going to do, and hopefully we have guests out in the lobby. I'm hoping. But it's going to be like another Christmas. It'll be a heartbreak, I think.
A hard candy Christmas?
I don't have any of the versions of that.
Oh.
Well, the only version we've got is RuPaul's version.
That could work.
Maybe we can play RuPaul and Dolly Parton at the same time. And
that would work.
On that note. process of burning that down because it's coming to the end. Anyway, this is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I know I talked with Mistress Max, and I know she was going to be out some months, and I may have gotten confused. I don't know. Maybe wrong. But what we're going to do is we're going to just take a step back and punt, and I'm going to play a CD for you. This was an interview that our friend J.D. Doyle did a couple months ago about the artist Scott Free, which we play one of his songs a lot here on the show, Another Day of Cruelty. So it's a 23-minute interview. We're going to let you listen in, hear something you only would have gotten heard if you get a chance to check in with Queer Voices. So this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. And like I said, we're kicking it over to J.D., and Scott Free.
Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
Hello, this is J.D. Doyle with a Queer Music Heritage New Music Spotlight. This segment gives me a chance to showcase an artist's latest CD along with some interview comments. And the spotlight this time is on a Chicago artist that I've admired for years, Scott Free. Scott is a queer singer-songwriter whose music has a punk rock foundation, but can vary quite a bit as he tailors the type of song to the message of its lyrics, whether that leads him to rock, pop, punk, or even hip-hop. In fact, prior to his first full-length album, he had a song that made it to the European dance charts. That first album was kind of heavy rock-oriented and was called Getting Off. Getting Off, Scott Free, get it? That was in 1997. And his next release, in 1999, was called The Living Dead. This one kept the rock, but blended in other elements, like pop and a little dance. I thought it was an excellent album. From it, I want to share about a minute of the song, Not Good Enough.
When we were young, we knew we were different. We didn't know how or why. And as we grew up, we found what was different was only our dreams and desires. But we learned the names that they had for us. We prayed they would never discover us. And as we waited silently, quietly, we learned that. We learned them silently, quietly. We learned them, oh, we learned them. How could we just believe what they said? Could we see our beauty instead? How could we get it into our heads? If we were not good enough, we were not good enough, we were not good enough.
And in 2004, he released his third album, and he named it They Call Me Mr. Free. Now, before we get too deep into the interview, I want you to hear a little of the music from that CD. And I kind of have three favorite songs from it. One of them is called The Muffin Song, and I'll let Scott tell you about it first.
The Muffin Song was written a few years back, before I had met my partner, Jean. The concept of the song actually came into my head when I was laying in bed with a friend of mine. This was post-sex, and he hates the fact that I credit the song to him. The alternate title of the song is No One's Ever Been In Love With Me, and although it wasn't true, I had not been in a serious relationship in, oh, probably 12, 13 years by that point. And so it felt like no one had ever been in love with me. So I decided that I would start off the CD with that song.
No one's ever been in love with me. No one's ever sent bouquets of flowers, counted the hours in my company. No one's ever been in love with me. No one's ever cared and been sincere. No one's ever kissed and called me nothing. Had sweet nothings whispered in my ear. No one's ever cared and been sincere.
I'm falling for you and I.
Okay, on to more standard questioning. I first asked Scott where he got the title of the album, They Call Me Mr. Free.
It is ripped from the 1960s film, They Call Me Mr. Tibbs, starring Sidney Poitier. I think the reason for using that title was, of course, to be a little silly, and for some reason it just reminded me of the title of a rap CD. My CD has some rap on it. It's not a rap CD, but I kind of delved into that area, which I hadn't done in many years.
Tell us about the CD itself.
This is my third CD, and the musical styles are extremely varied. I think it's kind of the way I operate when I write songs. I have a concept, an idea for a song, and I really aim in the direction or genre of music that I think best fits the lyric. And then I put them all together on a CD. So I've got lots of genres represented here. I've got your basic rock, there's rap, folk, a little bit of dance, and what I am probably best known for is punk. So it's got all of those aspects. I kind of thought of it as the kitchen sink approach to creating a CD.
How would you compare this CD to your past work?
One of the main differences between this CD and my previous CD, which was called The Living Dead, released in 1999, I decided to kind of delve into other subject matters. It's been my focus to do gay life as a subject matter in song, and although I certainly have a number of queer-related subject matters, I delved into other areas. I have an anti-war song called Never Again and Again, a song about the police torture of individuals by the Chicago Police Department in the 1980s, which has been now well documented, and there are court cases finally starting after a number of years. That's called Fair Trade. I have a song about the record industry called The Emperor's New Song, and I have done a rewriting of the history of the Beatles. It's called John Love Paul. So on this CD, I attempted to aim for a broader range of subject matters than I think the previous CD. I'm certainly known for writing about gay life as a subject matter, and that's always been my focus. And certainly there's a number of songs on this CD that address gay issues, but I wanted to expand a little and just kind of have fun doing it. I think the other aspect of this CD is I tried to make it very timely. Most of the songs are very recently written, and they're certainly about current topics. There's an anti-war song. There is a song about heterosexual artists performing at gay pride events, which is an issue that I have tried to give some exposure to, publicity to. Not in any way that's meant to be anti-straight. It's just supposed to be pro-gay. It's pro-community. It's trying to help our own.
Can you get a little more into the background of that song?
The reason I wrote Disco Divas was to give a longer life to a particular issue that I've been very interested in within the gay community. At pride events around the country, and I'm sure in other countries also, there's been an emphasis on having disco performers at pride events. And I think that, and the issue I took with that is not a musical genre issue, as it is an issue of us representing and celebrating our own. In most of those situations, the performer is heterosexual, and although certainly it is not meant to be an anti-straight song, I meant to point out that on this one day when we are supposed to show our pride, that we should not be ashamed of our performers, that we should showcase the talent that our community has. This issue is being discussed around the country in different cities. I think it's really important.
Disco Divas sing at Pride Fest to remind us we're second class citizens. Disco Divas sing at Pride Fest to remind us that straight is better. Music should stay in the closet. It shouldn't be honest. Oh, it will lose all its friends. They'll say my music betrays me. All charades in love with only pretend.
So that is a song that is, to me, it was very topical. I wrote a song the week of President Reagan's funeral, and his administration's ignoring the AIDS crisis at its very beginning, and the modern press ignoring that fact when they were eulogizing him.
What song on this CD are you the most proud?
I would have to say that I'm most proud of the anti-war song on this CD. It's called Never Again and Again, the title of which I had for many years, and I had actually even written a house track back in the late 80s called Never Again and Again, and it kind of had nonsense lyrics to it. But when our president decided to invade Iraq, I thought of that phrase again, never again and again. And in this time, I saw it as a reference to countries' continual aggression and starting of wars. So I thought it was kind of the perfect way to describe how leaders of countries act. And so I rewrote the song entirely. Yeah, that one I'm very, very proud of.
Kings, chiefs, monarchs, presidents, greedy for gold, oil, diamonds, dominance, call upon God, Mars, Allah, Hachiman, lie to the people, deceive them with a cause to believe in. So troops, tribesmen, warriors, marine cadets, raise up their spears, swords, rifles, bayonets, go to their wives, partners, maidens, newlyweds, say goodbye and to a peace, promise never to leave them ever again, never again.
I mentioned that I have three favorite songs from this album, and the second one is Battle Hymn of the Intolerant.
I came up with the idea for the song Battle Hymn of the Intolerant the week that President Bush had announced that he was going to be pushing for a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. As is very common for me, I have a tendency to write when I get really, really angry, and even though I knew that really it was probably a strategy to get reelected, still it brought to mind, in my opinion, how this country, although it states to the world it is a country of freedom and individual rights, that in reality, if you compare America to other countries around the world, some other countries, we actually lag far behind in human rights issues. We're not the worst by far. But in my opinion, we are not what we say we are. So I thought it would be best to do it in a Civil War era style. And, yeah, it's a pretty angry, you know, piece of 3 minutes.
This great nation has shown itself in all its glory. Up on high flies the troops and tenants of this land. Built a fortress upon the wisdom of the mighty. We must fight for the principles for which she stands. Gays shouldn't be allowed to marry. Ladies shouldn't be allowed to vote. Negroes shouldn't be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be. Gays shouldn't be allowed to marry. And ladies shouldn't be allowed to vote. Negroes shouldn't be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be. Feel the battle. Our spouses and stripes will wait forever. We the people will triumph with God on our side. Victory, the treason is shall soon surrender. Sing her phrases and shout as I'll reflect with pride. Gay shouldn't be allowed to marry. Ladies shouldn't be allowed to vote. Negroes shouldn't be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be. Gay shouldn't be allowed to marry. Ladies shouldn't be allowed to vote. Negroes shouldn't be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be.
Arabs should be deported. Indians get off our land. Mexicans should be strike breakers. Japanese should live in camp.
Nation has shown itself in all its glory. Up on high flies the truth and tenets of this land. Built a fortress upon the wisdom of the mighty. We must fight for the principles for which she stands. Gays should be allowed to marry. Ladies should be allowed to vote. Negroes should be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be. Gays should be allowed to marry. Ladies should be allowed to vote. Negroes should be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be.
I just love that one. Now, most of this interview was recorded prior to the Out Music Awards. They were held in Chicago in June, and Scott Free was the big winner, taking home the two most prestigious honors, that of Out Musician and for Out Song of the Year. The Out Musician Award recognizes not only an artist's musical contributions, but also their contributions to the GLBT community, what they give back. And Scott gives back plenty. A couple of easy examples are the annual Queer is Folk, a musical charity event held in Chicago, and Homo Latte, the longest-running weekly queer performance series in the country. He organized both of them years ago, and they get better every year. And he's been effective at organizing protests, whether it be against the local Pride Fest and their lack of featuring performers from the GLBT community, or protesting the booking of anti-gay reggae artists at Chicago venues. And I think just in general, the political nature of his music should be honored, as he's not afraid to hold a light to hypocrisy or bigotry, whether it be on the national level or even within our own community. After the Yacht Music Awards, my audiophile co-producers and I talk with Scott, and I want to share with you some of his comments. First, you'll hear Chris Wilson.
Okay, we're talking with Scott Free. Scott, you are not only Out Musician of the Year, but Out Song. Were you surprised?
I was completely shocked. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the thing about awards. You just never think you're going to win them. So, and you usually don't. That's just how it works. So, yeah, and it was the last two awards presented at the end of the night. So I was really shocked.
One of the things I noticed is how musicians of different genres really connect together. You see, you know, a punk rocker with a country western person, and I don't think you see that anywhere else but the out music community. Would you agree?
That's a really good point. I think that's, you know, maybe it's from the fact that we have the two aspects going on. We are from a community, the gay and lesbian community, and yet we're interested in music. So if it was just out there people doing music, that was the only reason that they were together, then you're right. It would probably remain very separate. Whereas in this situation, we have this bond already.
And so then to add music to it, it makes much more sense for the different genres to be kind of mixing. So it's great.
Scott, you've become the first person to win out musician and out song. Any comment on that?
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. I was so thrilled because I know that those are both voted on by the members of Out Music. So that was, I was really, really just so honored to have that. And yeah, just to happen in the same year is phenomenal. I was really floored.
I'm closing this segment with a song that got Scott the award for Out Music Out Song of the Year. But before you hear it, here's Scott's answer to the very leading question, do you have a website?
I do have a website, surprise, surprise, that anyone can go and check out clips of my music and a lot of other information. I do have my bio and press picks and all that kind of stuff. So you can find me on the web at www.scottfree.net.
Okay, by Scott Free, my third favorite song from the album, They Call Me Mr. Free, and this year's Out Music Out Song of the Year. It's called Another Day of Cruelty.
Excuse me, can I have your attention, please? Hey, kids, tired of getting beat up every day after school. Some at before school, in the hall, lunch after school. They wait for you after classes and smash your glasses into 18 pieces. Rub your face in dog feces, spit food in your face in the cafeteria. Fill your milk with ammonia so you're choking, the whole crowd goes into hysteria. In the classroom, they leave thumbtacks at your chair on the seat, trip you, then drag you down the stairs by your feet. Hang you upside down on the fence over by the soccer field. Drag you naked from a speeding automobile. And all because you're queer. That's right, queer. You heard the magic word. As if an adult, come looking fair. They assure you you're not a pervert, and you can be cured. Well, if that doesn't work, they prefer to keep it all blurred. They say you must be questioning or confused. Well, they keep pestering that it's gotta be something to choose. And the pressure gets festering so you can't stand it, you lit a fuse. While they desperately find someone, anyone to accuse. Like it's never a malady or happened accidentally. Like you can't think intellectually, have the mentality to understand sexuality. As it's faster or tenacity to think independently. But here's my advice, take it literally.
Just run away, cause I'm a hobby milk fool. And you never have to take another day of the cruelty.
The thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules. Just leave this place and you'll never see their face again.
Just run away, cause I'm a hobby milk fool. And you never have to take another day of the cruelty.
The thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules. And if you're gonna say then sue every last one of them.
Okay, so you try to go talk to the principal. You know the invisible man, the one that's only doing his job, that says you're the problem. The phone is live with this platoon and the car cop for our brain. On the bomb outside, what's the bomb of your remains? Make a kebab of your cranium. You tell him you documented every time you were bashed. He looks at the papers, takes the folder, and throws it in the trash. He says it's time for you to go, and why did you come here? But sir, I can't leave now, they'll throw me in the garbage dumpster. He says he's sick of hearing you rag, and if you didn't act like a fag, well then you wouldn't get beat up so much.
You say I'm touched, and thank you very much. I'm sure if I'm surrounded, you'll be there in the clutch, but I don't know if you noticed that the crowd's getting restless below, and do you mind if I exit through your windows? I'll take the fire escape down and run for cover before they discover me and start chasing.
I can make it to the bus and hide behind the wheel casing.
Just run away, cause I'm a hobby milk fool, and you never have to take another day of the cruelty.
The thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules, just leave this place and you'll never see their face again.
Just run away, cause I'm a hobby milk fool, and you never have to take another day of the cruelty.
The thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules, and if you're gonna stay, then sue every last one of them.
So they catch you one day, pin you to the wall, beat you within an inch of your life. Carve the red faggot into your stomach with a pocket knife. You go to the counselor, show him the gashes. His solution is to put you in special ed classes. So you go to the police, tell them everything that's been happening. You lift up his shirt, show him the scar, they start laughing. They won't make an arrest because it's too much paperwork. You say, thanks a lot, it's from a safer jerk. So you finally find a teacher who's willing to assist you. Tell the kids boycott the class, say he must be a sissy too. And they transfer you from school to school, and all the administrators to talk about his immunity values.
Just run away to the hobby milk school, and you never have to take another day.
The thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules, just leave this place and you'll never see their face again.
Just run away, cause I'm a hobby milk fool, and you never have to take another day of the cruelty.
The thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules, and if you're gonna say this to every last one of them.
Just run away, cause I'm a hobby milk fool, and you never have to take another day of the cruelty.
The thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules, just leave this place and you'll never see their face again.
Just run away, cause I'm a hobby milk fool, and you never have to take another day of the cruelty.
Thugs and the fools and the cows and the rules. And if you're gonna say that, then sue every last one of them.
That's right, sue the teachers, the principals, the administrators, the school district, the police. Sue the assistant to the assistant to the assistant to the dean. Sue them all, make them pay.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We want to thank you. That's small number who contributed to the pledge drive here. For those of you who are getting the form in the mail, please honor it and return it. And if you did that for any of our other programming here on KPFT, please make sure to send in that pledge of support. You're not paying for my salary. easy to figure that out. I'm cheap and easy. But make sure you return in that pledge of support. It does mean a lot to this station. And if you... you know, if you didn't have the money then and you have the money now, call us in. I'll take your pledge of support now. Or go to kpft.org and you can make a donation online. Because actually, we have a donation that we're going to be talking about a little bit here in a little bit that came in today. So we'll cover that. Cool. Let's go to a little bit of music. Put a little bug in your ear. And go a little twangy. For some reason, I've been wanting to play this song for a while, so I had to dig it out of the box and find it there. Going back to old school bit here. Not the normal old school. You know, I played Sylvester a couple weeks ago. Old school country. It's Doug Stevens and the Out Band. It's Out in the Country. Something you're only going to hear here on KPFT Houston.
I grew up out in the country, spreading my wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Two little boys, 8 years old, cousins on my daddy's side. Me and Bobby Wayne, friends from birth, playing out in the woods. Bobby Wayne looked at me right in the eye, smiles a crooked smile and says, to do what our mamas and daddies do. Somehow I knew just what he meant, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Later on, 16 by now, slowly becoming men. Me and Bobby Wayne hunting in the woods, he looks at me and grins. He walks right over, grabs me by the arm, touches my face and says, come over here, let's do what grown men do. I've been doing it ever since, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about nature, doing what comes naturally. Years have come and gone since me and Bobby Wayne played around in the woods. I moved to the city, I found me a man. Bobby Wayne, you taught me good, 'cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Yeah.
made it past my own pride. Everything I meant to say, never saw the break of daylight. Wrong or in between, you will always be the one love. Close my eyes and see, I wake up and scream the name of. If you go away, hey, I'll live another day. And I can promise you I'll never be the same without you. If you go away, I'll never be alone. I'll just sit at home with all the things I'm meant to say. If I could once believe you really were the one to suffer. Every time you looked my way and saw the face of every other. If I could understand, somehow you are really dying. Knowing in my eyes with every kiss that I've been lying. If you go away, hey, I'll live another day. And I can promise you I'll never be the same without you. If you go away, I'll never be alone. Sit at home with all the things I'm meant to say. Now we'll become the one who never really happened at all. Now we'll move on, but I will feel your pain in every fall. Now you're standing at my door, and I cannot believe you're leaving. You throw our love away, back your heart. Left me bleeding. To watch you act this way is something I don't want to go through. Cause there will come a day when I will wish I'd really loved you. If you go away, I'll live another day. And I can promise you I'll never be the same without you. If you go away, I'll never be alone. And I will sit at home with all the things I meant to say. If you go away, if you go away, if you go
lost count of the days since the last time we were together. Can't remember the last time we were together.
That was Bill Budd and So Here. A little peppy. And before that was Carrie Land with If You Go Away. Got to check and see if he's coming here to Houston soon. Talk with him again and say, hey, we played your music. But hopefully he'll be here in September. And started off with Doug Stevens and the Outband with Out in the Country. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison.
And I'm Big Roy.
And David's out in the lobby, and that's it. I mean, I've got my signals crossed with Mr. Smax. She was telling me it was going to be a couple of months that she wasn't going to be here. And apparently it was this one. But unfortunately, you know, she contacted me very little sleep standing outside of a laundromat. So... we're going to talk a little bit here. We're going to throw out a few things because, you know, we've always had this little controversy between our community and religion. And some people think that, you know, we Christian bash a little too much with it because of what we're looking at. But we got some interesting little things here. Starting with Pat Robertson, who apparently has... discovered this protein shake that enables him to leg press 2,000 pounds.
My goodness, I just, somehow I find that hard to swallow.
Now, there's a picture of him supposedly doing this, a still photo, that the timestamp on the camera was incorrect, of him doing this feat. Now, there's a video on their website that shows him doing 10 reps of 1,000 pounds each.
10 reps.
10 reps. Now, the thing is this. First of all, I'm going from my experience in doing this leg press exercise, which is when I was a football player in high school. For those of you who aren't familiar, basically you're laying on your back and your knees are... start off almost in your chest, and you have it on the sled thing that you push out. You extend your legs out to their full length, and there's weight on that, and that's a leg press.
Right.
Now, Pat sat down and did, you know, a couple of reps at 800, then 900, and then did 1,000. Now, he didn't do it the full way of, you know, bringing your knees up to your chest and doing a full explosion. He basically just went a very small push forward, and he had his hands on his knees helping him. Now,
still,
you know, these guys were carrying around these 45-pound weights like they were nothing. And, you know, they didn't look exactly like, you know, Schwarzenegger. So, I don't know if, you know, and it did make a big, heavy clanking sound. Plus the fact that, you know, the world record's like 1,300 or 1,400 pounds. And they had to specially create that machine
to hold that much weight.
And I believe that, didn't that guy almost receive some serious physical injuries trying
to do
that?
Yeah, he busted capillaries in his eyeballs from trying to strain this, and most likely, you know.
And this is an athlete who practices this every day.
Now, when Pat did this 10 by 1,000, you know, he said on camera he hadn't touched this machine in a couple of months.
Oh, I just don't believe this.
I mean, if it was a protein shake, then, you know, apparently he got the recipe from Barry Bonds.
Now, be nice.
Because, you know, for a 74-year-old to sit down and, you know, throw this. And, you know, like I said, it was probably a lot clearer when it was actually shown on the 700 Club.
Still, if it was, don't you think it would have made the front page of the paper everywhere?
Well, it's making the front page now. It is. I mean, CNN has been covering it. You know, it's all over the papers about this. You know, he supposedly divine will and such. He was able to get this.
I don't believe it.
2,000 pounds up there, and it's like, you know, I guess apparently what he's doing is, you know, he needs to have that good strength, leg strength, because he's decided to go out and take care of America's enemies. But, let's go back a little. Let's see, where was the whole story on that? But it was an interesting thing that's come up with this, about all of this story. I mean, they even had it in his Wikipedia article, which is the online encyclopedia that you can there. Let's see. They said he's leg pressed. Yeah, this came out May 26th. I don't know if that's the picture of him supposedly lifting on there, but that's him in the leg press machine there. If you go to thedailyrotten.com and scroll down, you'll find a link on there. Now, he did this with the help of his doctor/trainer, who himself does, you know, 1,700-pound leg presses all the time. The record leg press for football players is Florida State University at 665 pounds less than what he supposedly does. That's 1,300. A strength coach said their leg presses of more than 1,000 represent a Herculean of effort, and 2,000 is a whole nother story. So, you know, it's a strange little thing there. He attributes his energy in part to his age-defying protein shake, which the site offers a recipe for the shake, which includes soy protein isolate, whey protein isolate, flaxseed oil, apple cider vinegar, and the souls of his contributors. Oh. I just added the last one on.
I just don't believe it.
Okay, now this is the one of him supposedly lifting 2,000 pounds. And I can't tell if it... I can't tell if that's the same machine they did in the video. But, they say the photo's from 2003, although the date stamp says 8/1/94. So, it's all, you know, a grain of salt sort of stuff. But, you know, Pat's always been so friendly with our community. Speaking of...
And he's always played very loose with the truth, let's put it that way.
But I got to tell you this, you know, I'm surprised no one said there. If you look at a picture of him in this leg press there, that has got to be the queerest pose he's ever been in.
I heard that.
He's got a smile on his face, he's gritting his teeth, and his ankles are in the air.
Uh-huh.
So, good old Pat. And our other friend out there, Freddie Phelps.
Oh, boy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, finally, he's going to have to be quiet a little bit because the federal government is tired of him protesting at military funerals.
Yeah, I was reading about that a couple of weeks back, and I just thought it was so strange that the military would find themselves having to go against an anti-gay preacher.
Well, this one doesn't have the picture there. One person pointed out an article in a Lone Star Activist about it. They had a picture of it, of this poor indoctrinated fool, Fred Phelps' 17-year-old grandson. if there's anyone out there who is willing to convert him to the dark side, please, by all means. He's cute. He's 17, so I can say that. And yes, I did research that. How sad is that?
Well, his church is made up of family.
Family members and anyone else who's willing to, you know, make movies about him. Where's there it is. I got a picture of him here wearing these sunglasses holding two signs. Semper Fi, Semper Fags. Always faithful, always fag. And thank God for dead soldiers. And they had a picture there. This was on CNN of Isaiah Phelps Roper, who was protesting Marine Lance Corporal Martini's funeral in April. So, one of the things, you know, we've talked a lot about Fred Phelps and the evil bastard that he is.
Oh, can we say that?
Yeah. Oh, I can say a lot worse. One thing I do have to say about this is, in a way, I take offense to, right now they've got the Congress putting through a law that demonstrators are barred from disrupting military funerals at national cemeteries. And the act will protect the sanctity of all 122 of our national cemeteries as shrines to the gallant dead. I've got two problems on both sides of the coin with this. One of them is the part that comes from being a part of this radio show, this station, is this idiot has the freedom of speech. He can stand on a street corner and say all the crap and all the lies he wants to. That's the part of our Constitution. What also gets me upset is the government didn't do anything about the bull he's been spreading for years upon years when all it was directed at gay people, especially ones who have died of AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
They said nothing.
Those were gay bash.
Yeah. They said nothing about Matthew Shepard. They say nothing about his website. They don't know anything. But, you know, as soon as he goes after
The military,
which, yes, are due the respect, who have died over in this senseless, useless, you know, I'm going to get you because you picked on my daddy thing that we have going on over there. But now they finally wake up after all these years, and because he's doing this, they want to take away his First Amendment right.
Yeah, I have a problem with taking away his right to protest, and I hate saying it, he could challenge that in court, and in a federal court, and he could win.
Yeah,
on First Amendment. I mean,
it's a simple fact of, you know,
I mean, it's offensive, it's disgusting, it's deplorable, it's every bad thing you can think of, but it is the way we are.
And we have to, and you know, the fact is this, we have to stand up for it, because the moment we say he can't say that,
that's when we lose
is the
our
moment we can't sit on the station and say this stuff. We can't have a pride parade. And that's the problem with it, is the fact that, yeah, it's offensive speech, you know. So what? There's a lot of people out there thinking this show is offensive speech, and I haven't said anything yet today. Well, I started off with a talk about masturbation. It's not like I did a demonstration. We save that for Gigi's show. But, you know, that's one of these things. And one thing, if you've listened to me enough on this show, one thing, you know, is I don't like to paraphrase or take little segments out of what somebody says. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. When Love Won Out and Exodus came here to Houston a couple years ago, I wanted you to hear what they said, what they meant. I'm hopefully this is going to work. This is going to play. But for the first time, we're going to have Fred Phelps on the show tonight.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Jimmy is probably running down here right now if he's listening.
I got to get my barf bag first.
Well, what it is Fred Phelps.
Where's my airline barf bag when I need it?
The thing is, Fred Phelps has got a myriad of signs. Very colorful. And the funny thing is, apparently they're stuck on this design that's very, you know, 1970s San Francisco concert. They've got this green, yellow, red kind of fade transition on most of his signs. And he's got lots of cute little signs. You know, thank God for IEDs, USA equals Fag Nation, thank God for dead soldiers, Fag Pimp with a picture of George Bush in the middle, God is America's terror, your pastor is a whore, Fag Church, Fag Court, Fag Hates, God Hates Fag Enablers, thank God for 9/11. Thank God for Katrina. Pope in Hell. Fag Pimp Judy. I'm waiting for them to explain that one. I'm not sure if it's Judy, if it's Judy Garland or if Judge Judy pissed him off sometime. God blew up the troops. Billy is a lying whore. That's Billy.
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. One thing is this, you know. You can find something nice to say about everybody. And, you know, Fred Phelps doesn't like George Bush either. So, you know, I mean, you can find something good to say about just about everybody. I mean, Hitler was a good economist. He just had very poor people skills. But, you know, here's all these signs. And what he's done is he's come up with a new website called thesignsofthetimes.net. In which we're being fireballed. Oh. But what he does is he tries to explain what these signs mean. So they've come up with these little video clips of somebody telling you what the signs mean. And he hasn't finished them all there. And some of the you've got to look at them just to see some of these people. They've got this one guy who. He finishes, you know, this hate speech that, you know, it would only be more hate speech sounding if it was in German. And he gets done, and he has this biggest, goofiest, I just ate the canary smile. And it's like, I mean, it's just so cheesy looking. It's like, oh my goodness, people. But, like I said, I like to give these people the chance to say what they say, what they think. And I found this out. I went to, a couple days ago, when I saw the stories about this, I went to GodHatesFags.com, and there's a link over to this and his other websites. You know, America is Doomed, Smell the Brimstone, Priest Rape Boys, God Hates America, God Hates Fags, God Hates Sweden, God Hates Canada. I'm waiting for God Hates God.
I heard that.
So, I am going to play for you.
What's he going to do if on Judgment Day he finds out God being a Nelly Queen?
Girlfriend, got to help? I hope he doesn't go to hell, because if all of us are going to hell, I don't want him around. So let me see if this is going to play correctly. I tried playing it online, and it got a little hinky, to use the old terms. So let me clear enough of these windows. And you're going to get to hear Fred Phelps explain.
In his own words.
His own words, his own voice. Why he thinks God hates fags. The funny thing is, when you look at him, especially with a cowboy hat there, you haven't seen it. But if you've got HBO and you watch the show Big Love, he looks just like the prophet. I forget what the prophet's name is on there, who's the leader of the polygamy cult. So let's see if this works, ladies and gentlemen. For the first time on After Hours, let me push this button here and get it ready. We will have Fred Phelps telling you why God hates fags. And
Oh, boy.
Yeah, get ready.
Like I said, where's my barf bag?
But like I said, this is, I want people to understand, you know, exactly where this person's coming from. Not trying to indoctrinate anybody. I'm just trying to, you know, let the person speak for what they say, and then we can attack it.
Okay, here we go.
So I think it's coming up here in a second. Maybe I gotta push this button.
God Hates Fags is a profound theological statement that we're prepared to defend from the Bible against all comers. Each word of it is pregnant with powerful meaning. God Almighty is the first word, and it means the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of eternity, who dwells in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, that God in whose hand the breath of all the sons and daughters of Adam is, that God who controls the destiny of every single individual of mankind, their lives on earth, and their lives in eternity. That's the first word in that profound theological statement. That's the God we're talking about. Nobody knows anything about the true and living God but that which he has chosen to reveal himself. And those revelations of himself include not only the attribute called the love of God and the mercy of God, but the hatred of God, not an evil passion as it is with men, but it is a fixed determination in the Almighty to punish the wicked for their sins in hell forever. That's the Bible definition of the hatred of God. Fags is a contraction of the word faggots, which is an elegant metaphor for all the homosexuals and their neighbors. Fags. It's elegant and it's appropriate. They're fags. They call fags a contraction of faggots because they have kindled the fires of God Almighty's wrath. Kindle the fires of wrath in their lust one for another. Kindle the fires of wrath by virtue of the place they're headed, where the worm that eats on them never dies and the fires never quench. By a multitude of common sense arguments, God Hates Fags is not only true, it's profound, and it's divine. And we are intent upon publishing that message to the whole world. God indeed hates fags.
That was the Reverend Fred Phelps of Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, explaining his phrase, God Hates Fags. Once again, the reason why I did that, the reason why I played that, was, you know, you got to know your enemy. You know, if one thing we haven't learned from our current administration is you need to know your enemy. You need to know who is against you, and you need to know why they're against you before you do any sort of action. That's why I played something like this on this show, because I wanted people to hear at least what he's starting from to get to the point of what he's saying and what he believes.
Well, you know, I know I could get into a lengthy discussion as to point by point by point by point as to why Fred Phelps is all wet and very wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can get into a long biblical discussion, but we have not got the time. We do not have the time for it.
And we all, we, you know.
But I think a lot of, there's a lot of our listeners, most of our listeners are not dummies.
Yeah.
They are very intelligent people. I've spoken with many of them on the phone. They're not stupid. They're very intelligent. And they're seeing through this. And unfortunately, it's these young kids who have not, who are very questioning and who are impressionable, who hear something like that and it really twists their brain into a pretzel.
Should we play one more? Would be a good one to play. Not all of these are active. Everything from your thank God for IEDs to you're going to hell, all of these here have. Should we hear why he doesn't like Bush?
Why?
Let's download that one so you can find out why George Bush is a fag pimp. Apparently I didn't get that memo on that one. His little note on here. By both aggressive action and corrupt refusal to act, Bush uses his bully pulpit and governmental power to pander to fags, to the eternal detriment of America. The Lord God has indeed set up over America the basest of men. This is a long one, apparently. It's a 21 meg file. So while we're doing that, like I said, this is part of information. Like I said, you know, we should know what these people are saying, and I want to hear the whole thing of what they're saying. I don't want to hear it chopped up. You know, don't tell me what you think you heard.
Text out of context.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, if you start doing that and then you'll start saying, oh, they take everything out of context, you know, they're just pulling out what they want to, you know, kind of like how they treat the Bible, you know, they go through, well, you know, I'm not giving up my lobster at the country club, but by God, the queers are going to go. And I've got to wear those cotton polyester slacks there when I'm out on the 18th hole, so, yeah, okay, we can't use that part of the Bible. All right, I guess we'll keep in there, you can't do a menstruating woman. Leave that part in. You know, anti-fag and anti-that. And I'll be damned if I'm giving up my ham.
I know, that's right.
I'm not giving up my ham on my egg McMuffin.
Oh, you're doing that so perfect.
So
you must be a closeted Republican.
No, I was just raised by... Well, by the time I was raised by, I'm most liberal.
But, you know, many gay people, myself included... We've kind of like always knew we were born gay, that this was not a choice. It is very fundamentally who and what we are. Before I knew anything about anything, you know, it just, I was this way.
I like to put it this way, you know, if this was a choice, if you think that somebody would choose to be gay, then go up to any African American and ask them if they would choose to be black in the 1950s in Alabama, in Mississippi. Because just like being African American in those states, in the several other states, in the 50s and 60s, you could be killed on sight for being black. You could be lynched because you looked at somebody a little too long. You can be denied a home. You can be denied a job.
Insurance.
And we have the same situation here. And depending on who you listen to in the black leadership, of whether or not we deserve, you know, they think that, you know, the gay community shouldn't try and equate our civil rights action to that of being black. Well, you know what? I mean,
it is.
It is the same. If you, I mean, I can understand if you don't want to try and equate it, but you know, it's truthful, and you know that is the truth to power of what this movement is. You know, and we can't change. We can suppress it.
Buddy Johnston, the founder of this show, the guy who started this show, he used to say on the radio all the time that he just wishes to God that the gay people that we had been born pink. Or lavender, or some other color, where we, you know, would stand out, that it would be obvious that we couldn't hide. And I think one of the things that really hurts the gay community a lot is these people that are straight acting, straight appearing, and keep trying to deny who and what they are.
Yeah, and you can repress it. You can, you know, deny it for as long as you want.
But it's going to come out.
You know, it's one of those things that it just, you know. And here we have someone who, you know, and, you know, I, you know, if he wants to stand on the street corner, fine. If those four or five protesters that come out to every pride parade and those six good-looking guys they always bring with them want to protest the pride, by all means. I mean that's the part of what we have to say. If we, you know, in a way, I guess you have to take it from what Martin Luther King said: as long as one of us isn't free, none of us are free. And you know, if Westboro Baptist Church wants to put a float in the pride parade, I say they should be allowed to. Let them see who it is. And, you know, they better throw some good crap. You know,
boy. I don't know about that.
I mean, the fact is, we let all these churches in, and yeah, this one here has a totally negative view. I don't know what their membership is. You know, they don't have anything about that. And you know, majority of the parishioners, you know, do have Phelps in their name. There's one big exception is the guy who's made now two movies about Fred Phelps. And, you know, he moved his family into the quote-unquote compound. So, let's see. Since I finally downloaded here, let's find out why, strangely enough, George W. Bush is a fag pimp. I can't imagine it there. But what we're doing is we're talking a little bit about it. And you know what? Oh, hell.
I'll tell you what.
Let's open the phone lines. It's 713-526-5738. You want to yell us at us, cuss us out, tell us what we're doing wrong, say we're an idiot? By all means. 713-JAM-KPFT. I'm not going to ask for your money. Just be civil. Let's talk. If you don't agree with us, if you agree with us, let us know. Right now, we're going to find out why Fred Phelps says George Bush is a fag pimp. This one starts a little quieter.
That's a megaphone.
let me turn it on first, then we'll see how quiet it is.
Whenever the President of the United States wants to call a press conference, the whole world's there. That's a megaphone. That's a bully pulpit. And he, therefore, that has the most power to affect changes and to affect thoughts and to affect opinions and to induce young people to go this way or that way when they reach the decision-making years of their lives, and who directs them towards the fag agenda and encourages them to live for the devil in hell, he, therefore, is recruiting them by that kind of conduct to lie of sin and shame and disease and sorrow and misery and death and hell. He's the number one fag recruiter of the United States, and he's got to take responsibility for that. And when he has photo ops of going to church, he makes it a point to be seen at St. John's Episcopal Church, which is a fag church, which is a Vicki Jean Robinson church, Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire, who says that having sex with his male lover is sacramental. It's a holy thing, a sacred thing. And when Bush goes over and lends the dignity and prestige and power of the most powerful office in the world to that kind of a thing by favoring it and holding himself out as approving of it, and he's got to take full responsibility, and it's a very heavy load on the judgment day that sorry son of Belial with that kind of power is using it to spit in the face of God Almighty. He was duped. He was suckered into a bloody war in Iraq. A very sobering thought. But the Lord God, who controls the minds and hearts and thoughts and actions of all mankind, sends lying counselors, a lying president's cabinet, a lying intelligence agency in the United States to sucker this nation behind that kind of a lying propaganda into a bloody war in Iraq, just so that he could retaliate against this nation for its evil. They turn the country over to fags. They're coming home in body bags. I get overwhelmed with indignation thinking about the evil that these men in high places do. And there is no higher place than president of the United States. He's got to answer for that position.
Okay, now this is the same. This guy who's supposed to be a recruiter of gay people, right? A fag, mm-hmm. A recruiter of fags.
Mm-hmm.
This president is the same one who's getting this federal marriage amendment, you know, mm-hmm. trying to make it illegal for us to have a gay marriage or domestic partnership, same-sex union, or whatever you want to call it.
There's another one that he did in here where he talks about the fact that two of his of Bush's appointees are homosexual, an undersecretary and an ambassador position that he has on his. By the way, these are what we're playing here is actually, if you just tuned in, these are videos that the Reverend Fred Phelps and Westboro Baptist Church has put out explaining the signs that his people carry out at their protests. And there's a lot of them here that they have not done their thing. The one thing I got to say that I'm impressed about is considering, you know, the way his PDF files, if he sends out of his flyers, how tacky and they look there. Apparently, he's got a couple of gay people working in his shop there.
I heard that.
These are some nice videos that he's put together. The content is
so very closeted gay people, but they still can't hide because they can run, but they can't hide.
I think it's the priest rapes boys. It's such a slam on Catholicism. It's the beginning part almost looks like something you'd expect to see on South Park. It's if that's the one of those I remember. But that's, like I said, this is one of the things I wanted to, we've been talking about this. There's a lot of talk here recently on there about Fred Phelps and, you know, his protest. The same thing he did at the Matthew Shepard funeral. And he's doing this now at military funerals. And in a way, there are people who are doing similar to the Angels of Laramie, where at Matthew Shepard's service, people came in with these large angel wings to at least block the view from the service of Fred Phelps and his protesters. And so at these events, there have been people coming up in semi-trucks, blocking the protests off to view it there. There's a group of motorcycle gang, for lack of a better term.
A motorcycle gang.
That's going around, and they are holding up huge American flags to block, to at least have a screen of the visual from Fred Phelps' gang.
Well, actually, I myself have always enjoyed Fred Phelps' people being out here at Westheimer and Woodhead when the for the Pride Parade. They're so much fun because they're such idiots. I mean,
yeah, but then
it's
you get,
not a Pride Parade without them.
Yeah, but the problem is this. You got to be one of the first, you know, 30 floats because by the time, you know, they're gone quickly. But like I said, I know there's some people out here who I think, what the hell are you playing this kind of stuff? You got to know who you're dealing with. You got to know the mentality. And we know what kind of idiots these are. But it was important for us to hear what they're coming from, what they're saying. You know, because this is one preacher who, at least when he slams us, he does it in the open. He does it in front of a camera. You know, there's a couple of stations, a couple of, you know, the preachers here in Houston that, you know, a lot of people feel are very homophobic. Their church and their services. But they may not talk about that when the TV cameras are rolling. They may do that at another service.
Well, look, I'm seeing this one sign. Thank God for dead soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our soldiers who have died, the overwhelming majority of our of the soldiers who have died, whether they're from Iraq or wherever, were heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And deep, and were patriotic Americans who did things that Fred Phelps and some of his, and many of his followers would never consider doing. Yeah.
Part of where that comes from is because of comes from two parts. First of all, you know the president's doing all this stuff. We have abortion legal in the United States. You know, gay rights have been moving up slowly and surely. So this is all signs that, you know, God is bitch-slapping America. You know, when Columbia disintegrated, it was God's hand slapping it out of the sky, is their philosophy. Part of this that comes with, you know, the dead soldiers and with the IEDs, the improvised explosionary devices. That's the new speak, the new umbrella term for Molotov cocktails, pipe bombs, stuff like that. And supposedly years and years ago, somebody threw a device or a bomb or something. Here we go. Well, not years and years ago. I'm sorry. 1995. Westboro Baptist Church was faithfully preaching 4 years when a local whore stepped forward to ruin. That's something else here. Somebody threw a... Does it ever say what they threw? Here we go. Oh, God. I just put my sleeping four-year-old baby in the bassinet. He was moderately jaundiced and therefore sleeping hard and having... There was a loud explosion. They didn't say what it was. But you know,
somebody sort of an explosive device.
Somebody threw a bomb a pipe bomb or something, allegedly. This happened, and so because a improvised explosion device was used against them, they now support, you know, because they used it against God's messengers. You know, now God's messengers are using it against.
Well, you know, the back in 1970, the Klan tried to bomb us off the air.
Well, they did it twice with dynamite. Twice. And the funniest part I think about that I like is the article they have on there of a member of the United States House of Representatives calling it a despicable act that this radio station was bombed off the air. And a member of the House of Representatives was George Herbert Walker Bush. Oh, little would he know what happened 20 years later when we
30 years later.
Well, 20 years is when he was in office. This is Daddy, not Shrub. But
oh, you read Miley Ivins too, huh?
No, I've been calling him Shrub for a while because I don't think he's deserving of a Bush.
Miley Ivins always called him the Shrub.
Yeah. So, like I said, we played a little bit of this because I saw some of these. Like I said, I was watching these videos, and I'm not. Like I said, it was just because of the discussion of it being online there that. I went to look at it and just see, because every so once in a while, I go to GodHatesFags.com. I want to know what he's up to. I want to know what the little bastard's up to. Mm-mm. Plain and simple.
So, this one, President Bush is a fag pimp.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope, the Catholic, the priests, what? Priests
rape boys.
Priest one rape. You know, there's another preacher from the West. From Montana or Arkansas or somewhere, something mm-hmm. like that, who's saying that the Catholic Church is really a neo-Nazi organization, that the old Catholic Church was in cahoots with the Nazis.
They were. The Pope at the time in there just basically said, hey, we're not going to say nothing. You know, we're not going to do anything with that. And then after a while, when he said, you know, I really ought to say something, he mysteriously died.
Well, you know, during World War II, there were a lot of Catholic priests and nuns and monks who lost their lives, yeah. You know, sheltering
yes.
Jews.
And in fact, you can go to, there is a Catholic church here in Houston that honors one of those. It's St. Maximilian Kolbe over on West Road between Jones and the Beltway. And the one thing I really admire about that church is if you go there, go into their day chapel, and there's a stained glass memorial to St. Maximilian Kolbe. And it has, you know, his number that he was given by the Germans, and it's got barbed wire. I mean, the outside of the church has what looks like smokestacks from the concentration camps. It has a look of that. Brought into it. But in the stained glass, you know, they've got representations of barbed wire and all this other stuff, and Stars of David, and different colored triangles representing the colored triangles that were used to mark different aspects of the community that were persecuted by the Nazi government. And there are pink triangles on it.
Cool.
In a Catholic church.
Yeah. Now, what have you got here?
This is one of those other websites, priestrapeboys.com. You know, the video they've got on that, like they've got that, and they said, you know, there's a billion Catholics, and if these people are really honest about being religious and all that, their parking lots should be empty. But this is another one of those little websites there that, you know, talks about it and talks about other churches. And I don't know where this stained glass mural is from. It actually is, because I've seen this one before. It's not something they created. It is in a Catholic church, and it has three priests, and I'm not familiar with what the ceremony is. If it's a young boy receiving First Holy Communion or confirmation, where there's a laying on of the hands. And you can tell this was done a long time ago because they wouldn't dare put a picture like this. Nowadays, the boy is kneeling in front of the three priests, and the one priest has his hands on top of his head and laying onto the hands. So basically, from what you see looking at this picture, you know, it looks basically like there's a child performing fellatio on the one priest, and there's a girl next in line. That's That's actually out there. So that's not something that they created for this. But, you know, one of these things is you have to know what these people are willing to do. You know, here's their pickets. They're going to have a picket for a military funeral. Then they're going to protest at the Basilica of the National Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. The 29th. Oh, Memorial Day. They're going to be picketing at Arlington National Cemetery.
Oh, boy.
Well, part of their group is going to be in Maryland at the Basilica of the National Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And at the same time, they're actually going to spend an hour protesting out in front of the National Cemetery. And then another one at the Soldiers Memorial Chapel South over in Colorado. But, I mean, be interesting to see if next time they come. Like I said, the last time they came to Houston was shortly after the Columbia incident, where they did that. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston. I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this or not. I read something I forgot to ask Ernesto. So we're going to take a step out for a couple of moments here and let you know about what's going on around the world, not necessarily in your neighborhood. And I've got to stall here for a couple of minutes where KPFT takes you live to London and the BBC at the top of the hour.
BBC World News, I'm Neil Nunes. The authorities in Indonesia are attempting to speed up relief efforts to help the survivors of the earthquake which struck Java on Saturday morning. More than 3,000 people are known to have been killed, and at least 10,000 others have been injured. Many more spent the night outside fearing aftershocks. Doctors from across Indonesia and some from international teams are being dispatched to the worst affected area around the city of Yogyakarta. Our correspondent, Orlando de Guzman, is there.
You can really see the city is in a state of shock. Yogyakarta is a very, always been known as a very easygoing city, a city of mostly students. There are about a dozen or so universities here. And today, it's very strange. Most of the shops are closed. People are hanging out in front of their houses, a lot of them still too afraid to go back inside. And it's just a different feeling. There are no planes flying overhead. Usually there's about 30 planes coming and going. It's quiet. It's a very strange day.
Seismologists in the United States say there have also been two big earthquakes beneath the western Pacific. One quake measuring 6.2 on the Richter scale was recorded about 40 kilometers inside the Earth's crust under the New Britain region of Papua New Guinea, while another measuring 6.7 was recorded less than half an hour later, 50 kilometers beneath the islands of Tonga. No casualties or damage have yet been reported. The foreign minister of East Timor, José Ramos Horta, has said the government is to blame for the violence which has taken place in the country over the past few days. The violence has spread with numerous clashes between rival regional and ethnic groups. A BBC correspondent in the capital, Dili, says the center of the city is quiet, but smoke could still be seen rising from the suburbs. Mr. Ramos Horta told the BBC the army and police had been allowed to disintegrate into warring factions because the government had failed to react to warnings. He also stressed the need for reconciliation.
In situations like this, when there has been such a failure of leadership, normally there will be people tendering resignations. We shall see what happens in the next few days or weeks. My main concern is to establish bridges of dialogue between my prime minister, the president, but also with the rebels.
You're listening to the World News from the BBC. Lawyers representing British military personnel at court martials say they are being contacted by more and more soldiers seeking to avoid serving in Iraq. The lawyers have told the BBC the soldiers are trying to get out of going to Iraq because they're demoralized by the continuing conflict there. Jonathan Charles reports.
The ministry claims it doesn't keep details of whether desertion is on the rise, but a Labour MP, John McDonnell, told Parliament this week that there'd been a tripling in cases over the past 3 years. He was speaking in a debate about new laws which would make refusal to take part in the occupation of a foreign country punishable by a maximum life sentence in prison. Lawyers who represent members of the military at courts-martial say they're being contacted increasingly by people who want advice about getting out of having to serve in Iraq, demoralized by the continuing conflict.
Pope Benedict is celebrating an open-air mass in the Polish city of Krakow this morning on the last day of his visit to the country. An estimated 1 million people are expected to attend. Later in the day, he'll visit the site of the former Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz and lead prayers in memory of the 1.5 million people, mostly Jews, who were killed there. Adam Easton reports from Krakow.
Pope Benedict will make a highly symbolic visit to Auschwitz-Birkenau as a son of the German people, the Vatican spokesman Joachim Navarro-Valls told a news conference. He revealed that the trip was not originally in Benedict's schedule, but that the 79-year-old pontiff had personally insisted on it. It's not clear whether he will end the service with a prayer in German, as initially planned. Some Jewish groups have said a German pope speaking the language of the Nazis would insult the memory of the million Jews murdered there. He will meet 32 former inmates and light a candle at the foot of the camp's execution wall.
The people of Colombia are preparing to vote in the country's presidential election later today. Security forces have been deployed in huge numbers to prevent any violence, although the left-wing rebels of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, the FARC, have said they won't interfere with the voting. President Álvaro Uribe is being challenged by Carlos Gaviria and Horacio Serpa of the Liberal Party. And that's the latest from BBC World News.
tone that's in your lap, gasping for an extra breath, waiting for the time to pass. I believe in days ahead. Don't spend another night alone, cross and wishing you were dead.
Top of the hour, we had the BBC bring a little bit of British commons, British news. I was watching a PBS earlier today, and I don't know what the name of this British show that was on. They had a lot of cute guys on that show. God Save the Queen.
Which one?
Me. Let's see. The music we had here before. We left here. That last song was Scissor Sisters, Mary. And you know, Jimmy put on there that it's Elton John-ish. I would say so.
Elton John-ish?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of Elton John type music. I was sworn he almost sung that. So then before that was Horse. And She Smiled. I figured if we're going to play the BBC, we'll play somebody from that region. She's Irish, not British, but... And we started that off with Temptress with Queen for a Day. What can I say? Yeah, well, that was what we brought out from the BBC News. we got a couple things here. We're gonna switch over here to MBB letters.
Oh, we got some MBBs.
Yeah, I'm working on filling out this one. I didn't do it earlier. I'm going to put that on here. We've got a pledge here. Oh, wait a minute. That was... Darn, he had... There was another one on there. He actually pledged 60. I stand corrected. That is... $23.40, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who couldn't pick up a phone last week, I love it without the filter. You know, I've got in my hand here 60 first-class postage stamps. You know, little 39-cent portraits of Lady Liberty that our good friend Tigger donated here to KPFT. The more interesting part about this is Tigger has not heard our show in months. Where he's at, he can't get the reception. And yet, Tigger went ahead and donated to us.
He knows when the spring drive is.
Well, he contributes every month. I got to get the number right. And what I'm doing right now, the reason why I'm kind of talking the funny way that I am, more so than usual.
He's filling out the pledge
form. Is I am filling out a pledge form that I'm going to drop in the box here to let management know that Tigger contributed to After Hours, and I don't know if he has enough on here. Wish my glasses would quit hitting on the microphone here, but this here is a person who donates consistently to our show, and can't put a phone number down, so I hope I get the zip right. Put 78 there. no, this is not a new address. Yeah, we thank you on air. And this is not your first time donating. And I put on here the other comments. Prisoner sponsor, paid in postage stamps. don't send a bumper sticker because it's contraband.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. According to what the people said, if we send a prisoner a sticker, it has to be like stuck on the envelope.
Oh God!
Well, the backing is a little bit thicker paper, so it could be used to turn into something. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you're telling me because you know I'm the guy that's got to do that. Robin and Dwayne and I sat down Thursday evening after pledge was done.
Yeah.
And we were putting our war plans together for getting all this stuff out.
So I am going to be taking and putting this in the little envelope and dropping it in our bin out there.
Folks, I want to say something here. If a guy in prison can send 20-some-odd dollars in stamps...
What the hell are you waiting for?
Do you know how valuable... I mean, to us, that may be 20-some-odd dollars, but to people in prison who only make a couple pennies a day, you know, this is worth gold. And I don't know how many MBB letters we've received where they've asked for stamps. They've asked for stamps.
I mean, even, you know, take that $20 and turn it into, you know, food. You know, you eat at the god-awful weird hours in prison.
And god-awful weird food in prison.
So, you know how many cups of just, simple ramen noodle soup that would cover.
Really?
So, let's see. Only one day until the next program that he'll miss. He's hoping he's going to get transferred to another cell, I guess, where he can start listening again. He's sending on some Cosmo guys. He keeps forgetting to mail. Maybe someone will enjoy them. Yes, we did.
Yes, I did, Tigger. Tigger, don't do this to me.
So, yeah, he's sending April and May. So that's why it's big there. Yeah. Even though I'm not able to listen right now, I feel so happy knowing that I'm doing something to help this great show reach others. I look forward to someday being able to discuss the shows again. Until then, I will keep trying to listen and keep supporting the best station and queer programming in the world. Take care and be blessed.
Thank you, Tigger.
So, like I said, I'm kicking those stamps. And, normally
Tigger has a very special place in our hearts anyways.
Normally, we'll have someone, we'd buy the stamps, and we just put in the cash. I'm sending the stamps to management.
Cool.
I'm putting that in the envelope and saying, this is his contribution of $23, or $23.40 of the stamps he's pledging to here. And we could use that for the mail outs. Mm-hmm. They can use that and, honor that pledge that was made. And, it's a shame that we don't have others stepping up and doing a pledge. I got
and
another one.
Tigger, just in case you are able to listen in, I want you to know that when you do come out, you will be a full-fledged member of KPFT, and you will get to vote on different issues here at the station.
And we expect you to show up here.
Yes, you better. You better.
I hate that little fortune cookie piece of paper they put in all the prisoner letters. Jimmy asked, got this and asked me to bring it in to show the gang, which never showed here. This is a get-well card for Jimmy. Watercolor.
Cool.
Get well soon. We love you. Dear Jimmy, miss you very much. Hope and pray you are getting better. I haven't missed a single after-hour show since you went back to Saturdays. And the only thing missing is you. Hurry home. You're the best.
Ain't that the truth?
And he was touched by that. Like I said, he got the card and he wanted to make sure we shared it with.
Oh, did you give people an update on
Jimmy? Yeah, at the beginning. Yeah, that he was. For those of you who missed it, Jimmy is out of the hospital. He's at home. Apparently, the orderlies were a little upset with him keep demanding using a smaller sponge when he got the sponge bath. I warned him I was going to say it. So. Actually, like I said before, the opposite was true. Actually, he thinks one of the orderlies was hitting on him, threatening him with a sponge bath. And he was not well enough to even accept that.
Jimmy had to be really sick not to be able to accept.
Interesting. And I saw parts of the story. And, because of, I talk about the thing I don't like of getting little news bites out of this. There's a story, I'm going to guess it's this one over, is it this one? A prom story that came out, because it's around prom time now. No, that's not the story. I missed the whole story of this part where a young man went to a high school prom and he was wearing a dress. And the school official said, no, go home. And, part of me was going, the guy, there's a part of me that, I've got those conservative tendencies, and I can understand that. But that's because I didn't hear the rest of the story. The rest of the story was, this guy has been allowed to dress as a girl the entire school year.
Oh.
He cross-dressed or trans... I'm not sure if he was a cross-dresser or a transgender. I'm going to assume because they allowed it, he was going in on transgendered status.
Right.
So he cross-dressed, dressed as a woman, girl, the whole school year, and shows up in prom in his dress and gets booted.
Was that the principal who booted him out, or somebody else?
I think it was the principal. They were on there. Unfortunately, I don't have. I thought.
You know, it would. I would find it kind of hard to believe that the principal would do that, especially if he knew what this guy's situation was, and that he'd been doing it all year anyways.
Let's see if I can find
it. Plus, if somebody wants to go and drag, why not?
And I saw a picture on TV, and, you know, pretty good drag. If it was just, even if it was just drag. Let me see if I can find the story. And of course, we got our friends over in Moscow who are trying to do a gay pride parade, but, you know, the mayor won't let them. The nationalists won't let them. The Supreme Court over there wouldn't let them do it. But they tried. About 1,000 of them went out for the parade and got beaten back. Come on. Okay, just making sure I'm not leaning on any buttons. That happens too often. Okay. Go back a little further. Yep. Gay soccer studs. There's the gay marriage up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute, guys. Here we go. Gown gets guy kicked out of the prom. Thanks to NBC5. Kevin Logan, who said he's gay and transgendered, attends Westside High School in Gary, Indiana. I'm sorry. I'm a gay man. I'm required to go to show tunes whenever I have the opportunity.
Yes, but don't put your gay
music, man. Yeah. I'm trying to follow in the footsteps of Ron Howard, and I still have hair. Logan said school officials told him to go home after he appeared in the dance in a formal evening gown. I think I'm more hurt than angry because that's the night. Nights like that, you can't rewind. You only get one. The Indiana Civil Liberties Union said Logan's civil rights were violated, and Logan said he would fight the decision. When he arrived at Avalon Manor in Hobart, he wore a dress, heels, acrylic nails. School officials said his clothing did not conform to the dress code, and he would have created disorder at the event. It was because I'm gay. She's not complaining to the females. They're walking around kissing and hugging each other. She's not complaining to them. School officials said the decision to send Logan home had nothing to do with sexuality. Kevin Logan has worn women's clothing since before the beginning of the school year, adding he has been pulled out of class for bringing a purse. You have a problem with me wearing my purse. You kicked me out because I got on an outfit. Then you turned me away from prom. So apparently he tried to and got in trouble for it before. It's not like they allowed him to.
That's one of the things about a transgender person. Before they go in for the operation, they have to spend at least a year in drag, I guess you call it.
Flawless.
Yes.
Flawless picture.
Well, Logan, come on here. Hatch is having a prom. Well, you're more than welcome.
They probably got something like that up in Chicago. Let's see the survey here. Should the student been allowed to wear a dress at the prom?
Yes.
Let's click yes. Survey says, from the open-minded people of the city of the big shoulders, the big windy city, 69% said yes, 31% said no.
So, obviously, we are in the majority. Then majority
again,
rules.
And again, you know, only 681 people voted.
You were the one.
I'm sorry. And there was four votes for Pat Buchanan. Confusing ballot.
Wait. How many hanging chads were there? Were there any pregnant chads?
There's not enough backlight to see if there was a hanging chad.
Oh, I just love a hung chad.
I'm evil. Yes, I know.
Actually, I like anything that's hung.
William, she bang. Let's see what else there. Bishop blesses. You know, X-Man 3.
The
talk a little bit about X-Men 3. Big talk, you know, ever since they came out with the X-Men series, there's been a lot of talk of, you know, how many times you can pull the word mutant out and replace it with gay. And they're saying with this one here, it's even more. Because the plot of this film is that they've invented a cure for the mutants. We're going to cure the mutants. For the first time, mutants have the option. They can either retain their mutant uniqueness and powers, although it isolates and alienates them, or they can surrender to their essential natures in order to fit within human society. The choice throws the two mutant factions into conflict on how to respond.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, it's an interesting, I mean, you know, we've had that talk about this before of with X-Men, of how people can relate to it. And I was watching on HBO, one of their little blurb things they were showing, and watching these actors talking about, you know, making a choice and deciding, would, you know, would I change this or would I change, if I could change that? And, you know, it's like, you know, would it be if you had the opportunity? You know, if there was a cure for what ails you.
I think probably a lot of the younger hatchlings type would go for it. People like you and me, I think we wouldn't. I don't think we would. I mean, well, I
think the
opposite. 55. It's too late to have kids now. I mean, if I was to have a kid now, God knows I'd be older than Methuselah by the time the kid's 16.
You can bounce them on your bionic knee. But I think the opposite, because...
No, you think it would be the older one.
I think the older ones would, because they've seen the troubles. The generation out there, the hatch generation, you know...
Whatever it is.
Y or Z, however they want to call it, stuff, or X. X, Y, or Z, however far down the alphabet they want to go. They have reaped tremendous. It's not perfect. You know, there's still the chance of getting a lead pipe upside your head. But it's not as great.
Well, I think that as a... Especially as a teenager. Unless you were somebody like me who was a hopeless slut from day one, okay? This isn't me. I'm talking about most normal kids. They have a problem with their sexuality in the beginning. And why am I so different? Why can't I make it with the girls? You know, why am I only attracted to guys and all this other kind of stuff? And...
It's more. How can I say it? I would say, you know, experimentation or, you know, questioning by curiosity in teenagers of today is more acceptable, especially with their peer group. They may not be as open and ready to come out to parents or to older generation, but they at least feel comfortable enough that their peers are going to accept them a little easier than was in your time or in my time. I'm twice the age of the hatchling age. I'm 34. But still, my coming up through that in those times, you know, those sorts of things you wouldn't talk about, you wouldn't consider. But I think you can talk, there is that peer support of, you know, I won't be as segregated. Now, yeah, there are sorts of things, because I know that, you know, there is that question that some people are going to have, you know, if I come out to my friends, am I still going to keep them? And that's a hard thing of having to think.
Well, it's just like we've always said before, though. If they were your friends, they will still be your friends.
Yeah. I go biblical with that. I said, to thine own self be true. And you have to be honest with yourself. And, you know, you don't have to tell everybody. Because very simply, you know, it comes down to the simple fact you got to understand is this. Your homosexuality governs you in only one way. What slot A do you put with what slot B? It's sex. It's what goes on in the bedroom.
Well,
or the car, or an abandoned house, or wherever it occurs.
It has nothing to do with your daily life. If you're going down, walking down the street, if you're going to work, if you're going to school, it doesn't matter. So, to think you have to come out to everyone and say, I'm gay, not necessarily.
Well,
but if you have, you have to be comfortable enough that if you're hanging around with a group of guys in high school, and you know, you need to come out and explain why the fact, you know, they're watching the cheerleaders go bouncy bouncy on the pom poms, and you know, your friend wants to know why you're watching the spotters and not the cheerleader. Then yeah, you might have to explain it. But, you know, you have to understand your own boundaries. You have to find out where you're comfortable with.
Well, you see, this is why I've always had a problem, is because I was born a slut, I was born out, and I frankly never really gave a damn what other people thought.
Yeah, you were... The vagina didn't have a closet door on yours, mama.
I mean, you know.
But there are.
I've never had vagina. In fact, even the day I was born cesarean. I've never been there ever.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the fact is that you know, to people you have to understand where your own boundaries are, and you have to know where you are. And I think most importantly, and one of the things I've always thought is, you also have to think about with the coming out of relationships, of how I've always said what a relationship is, you need to know where you are and where you stand and where you're going before you invite another person in.
Well, you know,
and you don't want to cut, you know, you have to make sure, you know, when you're out telling, pride and coming out doesn't mean standing on the rooftop shouting it to the world to anybody passing by. You know,
it's more pride in who you are.
Yeah,
yourself.
You have to be.
And it's like you said, it's not having to shout it out, but being proud of who you are. And when you do that, then you're able to start accomplishing real things in the real world. Yeah.
And not having shame in who you are. No shame in your game. You know, it's one of those things you have to think about. I'm in some difficult financial situations, and you know, trying to explain why I don't want to move back in with family. And it's getting to a point where I'm like going, I'm not ready to go, hey, you know, unlike the rest of you married folks, I'm sexually active. I do occasionally get some.
Nothing can kill sex more quicker than marriage.
But, you know, the fact is, you know, explaining it, there is a reason why.
If they want guys to stop having sex with one another, let them get married. It'll kill it right off.
Death, yeah. But, no, it's one of those things, you know, on this stuff, you know, you got to know where you want to be with who you are and how comfortable you feel. And, you know, it's kind of an important thing to talk about because we are getting ready. You know, next week when we come on the air, it's the start of Pride Month. And, you know, it's one of those things you have to think about where you're at, where you want to come. And don't let someone else tell you what your pride level is. Don't let anybody tell you that you need to be out. Don't let anyone tell you that you need to stay in the closet. You have to understand where you're coming from. That's the important thing.
Well, you see, that can work two ways as far as having somebody be out. If you yourself are out and you're very involved in the community, you do gay radio, or you're involved in, let's say you're involved in the caucus or some other group that winds up before the TV cameras often, right? And you have a lover or a boyfriend who is closeted, that's going to create problems for them because people will eventually, I mean, they're going to associate him with you, you know, and in order for your partner to be able to do what they want in life and feel good about themselves, if you have a very out lifestyle, then your partner's going to have to be out. It's not going to work if they're closeted.
And it's a one problem, you know, taking it out of the relationship thing, that's one of the problems that some of the youth have, is because there is, even though it is better, there are some people that we're going to, that you have that fear of that homophobia. And so if someone comes out as, you know, I'm openly, you know, I'm decided I'm going to be openly gay, both to open the doors, then those who associate with you may have that fear of, you know, guilt by association. Well, you know, if he's gay and you hang around with him all the time, you must be gay too.
Right.
And that could drive some fear of, you know, talking to someone and explaining, you know, this is the true me. Right. I'm telling you that I'm gay, not because I want to jump your bones. I just want you as a friend to know the real me.
Do we got a caller there? Line one?
Looks like it.
Looks like we got a caller on line one there.
Let's see here.
Let's see if Chris can't get us a caller on line one.
Oh, hung up.
Oh.
I was a little late getting to the thing.
But, you know, just the opposite is true. Also, if somebody is going to be the dominant one in the relationship and they're closeted, they should seek somebody who is also closeted.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know how we always like everybody to be out, but there can be some very good reasons for somebody, for people, even grown adults, to remain in a closet.
Yeah, and I mean, that's understandable. And that's part of the reason why the show is here.
Especially if they're in the military.
Yeah. That's part of the reason why, you know, if you listen to the opening credits and the opening warning track, and you hear Jimmy's part of it, you know, I tweaked it a little bit, but it kept basically the same way he said. You know, we're here for the people who are at home listening to this on headphones. And that includes the people who aren't teenagers, aren't prisoners, who are grown adults who don't think they can be who they are out and open because society still has a hang up or two.
Especially if they want to be a career military person.
Career military. There's a story on here that teacher at a Catholic high school or college, I forget which one it was, some Catholic school. Somebody found his MySpace profile. And, you know, as a good concerned citizen, they forwarded it on to the authorities.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading
and
that.
He got fired.
Yep.
And it was because his contract says you will not do anything that will be in opposition to the Catholic teachings. So, that unfortunately, you know, he got fired for it. And that's how that works. And that's the downside you get with doing MySpace.com. Well, not just MySpace. You know, you can get busted on all these things.
Oh, yeah.
I explained it very clearly, you know.
I was reading in the, I believe it was The Voice, or maybe, no, it was, or I think it was The Chronicle, where there were some Army privates who got busted for appearing on activeduty.com.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly if these guys were solo performers or
had company.
Worked in a company. Actually, I saw one of the pictures of the one guy, and he was solo, I believe.
Well, most of them are, aren't they?
I'm not sure about that site. I remember seeing a thing about it on this other website. They're showing some pictures of it. Some clips from it, or the pics on there. But yeah, that's the one thing. And there's plenty of these websites. There are plenty of these movies, video producers, who have that genre. And some of them are real. Some of them, they slap it on as a costume. Because I don't know the strict rules in the military, but for some reason, I don't think the Navy lets a guy in with two nipple rings.
No, I just don't think so.
Yeah, that, you know. So, some of those are true, some of them aren't. And unfortunately, they had these things, and, you know, even though they used fake names and all that, and, you know.
Their faces will be identified.
Yeah, their faces and other. Yeah, I mean, they show their face.
But see, this is why I say, if you are someone who's out, you need to be with somebody who is out. And if you're closeted, and there may be very good reason for it, stay with someone who is closeted as well. Because the two opposites, a closeted and an open person, this is not where opposites make for the best marriage.
Yeah. That's one of the, you know, was it Chris Rock, I think, said once there, you know, if you're a crack whore, you need to find a crack whore to be with. You know, you can't have a born-again Christian going off to church and hubby sitting at home there doing crack. If you haven't guessed it, I use a lot of comedy and as resource material. It's a sad life I live. But that, you know, it's true. You have to understand where you're at and be careful. Because, like I said, this is the time of year where things do get a little bit crazier because we're more out. We're more visible. We've got not just pride parade.
And just like the voice said, this gives the military a chance to be rid of Fred Phelps for a few hours.
But, you know, I mean, for our community, this is a difficult time because, you know, it is pride parade, so there's more visibility. You've got the gay marriage amendment. You've got the gay adoption stories coming in. So you've got where this is coming in. There's going to be more talk on the pulpits about this stuff. So there's a greater chance for some evildoers to come into town and stir up some stuff for us. Also, a big article in the front of the Voice that they're talking about the raids and that the police officers are doing for cruising spots where people are you know, for the most part, well, I'm not going to say gay men. Men who have sex with men is a more appropriate term in this case. Because some of these guys are married, and, you know, they want a Hummer and don't want to go to the dealership for one. And they find these places, which in some cases, in some instances, yes, are very open public places, you know, the bathrooms and the restrooms at public parks. That story's come out a lot lately. There was a thing out of England a couple months ago that they were going to close down a restaurant because there was a lot of talk about the truck stop was being very cruisy. It was a truck stop restaurant. So they were going to take away their license to serve food over in England. Because of that. And, you know, people know about, there was a couple, what was it, about 2 months, no, a month and a half ago, they were doing busts out in Montgomery County and up in Tomball. You know, it's easy to find. You know, there's websites that you go through and they tell you where to go.
Well, you know, this really reminds me of back in the pre-Stonewall days, when the cops would raid a bar,
mm-hmm.
right? They'd be waiting on, the cops would raid the bar and clear everybody out, and we'd all be lined up on the sidewalk. And there'd be other cops across the street on the other side, and the cops would tell us to go to those cops there. And as soon as we crossed the street, we were ticketed for jaywalking, you know, amongst other things. And, if they caught you dancing with another guy, that was another ticket.
Well, you couldn't dance in those bars anyway.
If they, there was some dance bars. Or if they found you in drag and you did not have at least 3 pieces of men's clothing on, you were given an additional ticket. I mean, it was kind of crazy. And also, these raids now always seem to happen just like a month before Pride. They used to hit Mary's every year, just before Pride.
Well, that's tradition. The raids at
what's mainly public parks is the ones I haven't.
I check out the one website that does give that sort of information. That tells you, you know, where the cruisy bathrooms and adult bookstores and parking lots and truck stops and all that. And there's some people that, you know, when the news report hit about the teacher in Tom, step in the other room, and the teacher out in Tomball. Go ahead and answer. Go
in the other room.
Go in the other room. Screen it. Got busted for soliciting a police officer. You know, it made the news, and a lot of people, you know, got a little worried about it. They hung up again just before. If you're trying to call into the show, call in now, and we'll get you here because we're coming up close to the end of the show anyway. But you know, there hasn't been a lot of talk of, you know, past the story you hear here that just recently happened with in Memorial Park. But, you know, another reason, there's another reason why I think that some of this stuff happens as well around this time. And I think part of it comes from television.
Television?
Television. This is the month of May. The sweeps month.
Oh, that's right.
And all of these newscasts go out and they find the dirtiest and salacious stories. So, of course, you know, they put it on the air.
And sex sells.
Sex sells. And then all of a sudden you get somebody out, you get, you know, the blue-haired biddies with their Bibles there thumping the point. Why are you letting these happen? Why is this happening? And then, of course, they've got to get all the stuff together and start going after. So let's make a quick attack. Let's quickly look at this thing and see what we can do to take care of these people.
Well, I will say that if you're busted on something like this, that you should try to fight it, because if you don't, you will be listed as a sex offender, and for the rest of your life,
yeah,
everywhere you go, you're going to have to register with the police as a sex offender. And you have a right. When they say that they had received complaints, well, guess what? We have a constitutional right to confront our accuser.
Yeah.
Who is our accuser?
So
bring them forth.
Find out, you know, yeah, people have complained this goes on in this neighborhood. Well, you know, that happens. You know, I do this gas route. I've talked about it several times. You know, I drive around town, and I don't come into town proper. But I'll tell you this. I can tell the police where if they really want to get something, I can tell you a street corner up in north of Houston here, where you will find at least one trailer trash prostitute. And sometimes it's two. And I look at these women and I go, thank God I'm gay. And they work over by a fish plant, so I guess that hides the smell. I mean, these women are just like, who would pay?
If you weren't gay, you sure would turn.
Yeah, so we're coming up here close to the end.
Ah, Messerschmitt is in the house.
No.
No?
Wrong week.
Laura Palooza.
They switch out every week.
I'll tell you, so all this switching going around.
I know.
My poor little brain is just...
We need a scorecard sometimes. Usually we look it up there. It's like...
So. Hello, Laura.
Hey.
So.
They got first, third, and fifth, Messerschmitt. And I had the second and fourth Sundays.
Huh?
That's how we keep up with it.
Yeah, I know. The one time I pulled up, it's like, I don't remember. Now, do you call yours Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
You call it yourself,
yeah,
Sunday.
I'm thinking of doing an informal poll. And
yeah, see, we had
ask the listeners, do they think it's Saturday night or do they think it's Sunday?
Yeah, so we've always had that debate here. You know, well, before they moved us a day earlier, we always considered ourselves Saturday, whether we started at midnight the Friday to Saturday to Sunday. Is how we used to argue it. Is there, we start at midnight, so technically it's still Saturday. And then when they moved us to 1 to 4, we still called ourselves Saturday. And then when we moved a day ahead, back to a day, 23 hours or 24 hours earlier, Jimmy still wanted to call it Saturday because it was, you know, after midnight, Friday and Saturday. I go, we can't do that. We lost a day's worth of time, and you can't call yourself the same day. Unless, well, you're part of the Republican Party, you can get away with crap like that.
Well,
but,
I always say, I agree with Jimmy. It isn't Sunday until after I've gone to bed and gotten up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So, yeah, we see, it's good when we do it at midnight, because then when we tell the time, we used to say, you know, it's midnight Saturday to Sunday 4 a.m. Now it's because it's that 1 to 4, we have to use that naughty, we have to use the slash. Saturday night slash Sunday morning. Whatever.
We need to move back to midnight.
It's the end of show. It's time to go. No, we don't, well, we don't want to go back to midnight, because Hot and Bothered is a pretty good show. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can send us mail at 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. It's not just a zip code, it's a lifestyle. It's a life, not a lifestyle. Shoot us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Now, some mind candy, and then on to Laura Palooza. This is KPFT Houston.
The Rothko Chapel is pleased to present the final lecture in the Preserving Spiritual Values in the Face of Religious Differences, a series of encounters, religious series on Thursday, June 1st, 7:30 p.m. Guest lecturer for the program, entitled The Rothko Chapel, A No Man's Land for God's Truths, is Ms. Suna Umari Charleston, director at the chapel. Seating is limited and is available on a first-come, first-served basis. To RSVP or for more information, please visit our website at www.rothcochapel.org or call 713-524-9839. KPFT Houston.
Do you have connections in the community that would benefit KPFT?
Are you passionate about community radio?
Why not play a role in determining KPFT's direction?
Before you know it, KPFT will be electing members of its local board of directors.
Pacifica operates in a unique model in which listeners can run for and vote on members of our local and national boards. Our local station board is tasked with providing leadership to KPFT in the community.
If you are a current listener, member, or a volunteer, you will soon have an opportunity to run for the KPFT local station board.
Those from diverse communities in our Signal area are especially encouraged to run.
Visit kpft.org in the coming weeks for information about the elections. You will likely be asked to compose a candidate statement as well as appear at candidate forums as part of your commitment.
Again, that's kpft.org for upcoming details on the LSB elections.
This is your community radio station. Exercise your right to vote and run in our local board elections.
You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.